Gates of Orchid and Iris is brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you. Remember to like, share, comment, review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Hello, this is Gates of Orchid and Iris. I am the GM, Paul. And who is playing tonight?
This is Sebastian Seabass, and I'm playing Ikoma Chuse.
This is Gatch Retches, and I'm playing Kaio Suko.
This is Ludo, and I'll be playing Matsu Erika.
This is Rachel, and I am playing Kuni Suiko.
I'm Mason, I'm playing Shishiro Saika.
I'm Kay, and I will be playing various NPCs today.
We travel once again over the Crablands, and stop at a castle. This is Shiro Kuni. This was once a place exclusively for the Kuni family, but was turned into a military base due to its placement near the wall. The castle is wide, strong, fortified, and close to the ground, like a sumo wrestler waiting to push back its adversaries. This is the castle where the forces of the Crab are deployed and push back the taint from the Shadowlands. The New Year is coming, but unlike the cities and castles far away from the Wall and the rest of the Emerald Empire, which host extravagant parties and ceremonies, the celebrations in Crablands are subdued. At Shiro Kuni, one would be unable to tell that any celebration is coming. The troops here have a few things on their mind. Where are they going to be deployed next? And if they are going to survive to see the new year. So, Rachel, where would we find your character? Where would she be at?
Well, since her and her mentor have been at the castle for a while, she's probably doing some research on some new topic was discussed at the symposium, probably writing down her own thoughts or what she should look into in the future, something like that.
We see your character down in the cavern-like halls of the Kuni Archive. Here at the castle are the remnants of what used to be the centralized library. Of course, much of the Kuni's knowledge is spread far and wide throughout the Kuni wastes and held within the minds of many of the Kuni witch hunters themselves. There are scrolls and many piles that sit on the shelves that line the walls of the archive, and they seemingly have no organization, but only the archivists in the Kuni archive know where all the knowledge is and where it may be found. Lanterns hang from the ceiling, which spill soft light on the ground below. And there are tables periodically dotted throughout the archives so a person can sit down and read the various scrolls, tomes, and other pieces of knowledge which remain here. This is where you are, Kuni, in the archives at one of the tables. You have a scroll in front of you. What might have caught your attention during the yearly symposium?
Huh. Hadn't really thought of that. Probably something more along the lines of supernatural. I mean, Shadowlands is the Shadowlands, but something that's supernatural even for Shadowlands would probably catch the most interest.
Something more supernatural than the Shadowlands.
Huh.
Well, not necessarily more supernatural, but something that it's kind of like when you walk through a normal city and all of a sudden you glimpse another world where you suddenly see little creatures running around that you know you didn't see there before, and then suddenly it's gone. That, you know, you see yokai and stuff. Something that's supernatural based, but maybe isn't standard in the Shadowlands. Probably something that's slightly unusual, not something typically seen or noticed. That would catch Suiko's attention quite a bit.
Oh, I think I have one. A scout in the Shadowlands was traveling, and they found a very old man-made shack, which hadn't been discovered quite yet. And within this old shack, they found that the area was less tainted, and that a yokai actually had taken possession of the house. They're not very sure how or why, and the people who went to research could not figure out why, but they knew that the yokai who presided in this old dilapidated house was also protecting other things that had reached the age where they started becoming aware of the world and becoming objects with their own life. And this was a catalog of things that had aged enough to become yokai themselves and not tainted.
I imagine that I'm sitting there probably trying to figure out some rhyme or reason for us to eventually pass by this shack during our future adventures.
And you are sitting there quietly, almost undisturbed, because the archivists are very few and this place is very large. This time of year, there are no Asako Inquisitors coming in and poking their noses in here. It's just you and the scrolls and the very seldom met noises which the archive gives you. Sometimes it's a drip of water somewhere within this underground facility. Other times it's a creek. Sometimes it's the passing by of one of the very pale archivists. So as you're sitting there, and we have you fully in view, what does Kunisu... I'm having such a hard time with your name right now. Suiko look like to us?
So what I look like. So I'm sitting there and I have on black hakama, the pants. I've got a black shirt on, and I have a black, it's like a sleeveless, it's not really a coat, but it's almost like robes in a way, but they're sleeveless, the shoulders kind of flare up just a little bit, and it comes down to probably about the thigh, and to hold it closed, there's a matte black chain holding it closed. There's a little Kunimon on the side of it. And then my hair is pulled up into one of those high ponytails. And it's just long, sitting there, and it's held there with a wooden matte black kind of a circlet around the ponytail part, and it's carved with cherry blossoms, orchids, little crabs here and there, and then a single chrysanthemum.
Gates of Orchid and Iris will return in a moment.
Welcome to Cultural Explorations. During this gameplay break, we will be exploring the world of geisha. In Japanese, ge means art, and sha means person who does. Thus, geisha literally means person who does art, or in English, artisan. Geisha is a term originally for men. These men entertained with dances and stories, and were also advisors to daimyo until the peaceful times of the 1600s when they became full-time entertainers. Females originally started within the ranks of the oiron, or courtesan. However, they soon made themselves distinct from oiron in the 1700s. During this time, prostitution was legal, but required licenses for the establishments. Geisha houses, called oikia, were forbidden from receiving this license. After all, the oiron didn't want them taking away their clients. Women were called onageisha, or women geisha. Some places to find geisha and onageisha are in ochaya, or tea house, or a ryote, or traditional restaurant. It was not easy to get the services of a geisha. One must be a customer of the tea house or ryote, which are exclusive, and new customers must be introduced by a long-time customer, or already known to the oikia. Geisha are trained in the arts such as dance, instrument playing, and games. They know the proper ways to serve drink and food and hold polite conversation. Male geisha were also known as storytellers and performed different skits. Depending on the size of the gathering and how much money one wishes to spend, you can have multiple geisha and a few maiko, or geisha in training. A small group will typically have two geisha and one maiko. Today, geisha are often confused with oiron. This is because to foreigners, it can be difficult to spot the difference at first. The easiest way to spot them is how the obi, or sash, is tied. If it is tied in the front, they are oiron, as the lady needs to be able to close up her garments by herself. Geisha wear their obi tied in the back in the taiko style. Geisha kimono also looks different. Oiron kimono are bright and fanciful with a lot of pattern, while geisha kimono are more subdued with rich, elegant colors. The maiko wear more colorful kimono done in an obviously younger style, but the patterns are still a bit more subdued than what you would find on an oiron kimono. Both have stylized hair. However, oiron will have lots of ornaments in their hair, whereas a maiko will have select hair pieces, often flowers, and geisha will have even less ornaments, and they are more on the subdued side. During World War II, servicemen who spent the night with an oiron mistakenly thought they were geisha, and when they came home, would often say they spent the night with a geisha. Thus, the confusion in the West was born. Some of the more famous geisha that we hear about is often in connection with some of the men that they were mistresses of. This has given the impression that most geisha actually had relations with their patrons. However, this actually was not typical for geisha and was more on the uncommon side. Geisha could marry if they wish, and only a rare few had relations with their patrons, and this was not spoken of. Geisha are graceful and elegant entertainers, not courtesans. Thank you for listening. Want to know more about geisha or tea houses? Visit our Patreon for longer explorations and other rewards. And now, back to our story.
And as you're reading, you hear footsteps approach you. Of course, this is not like super uncommon because the archivists have been going back and forth, but it doesn't sound like the light shuffling of the archivists. It sounds like somebody who has footsteps that have meaning and hold weight and who are very confident and assured of themselves, especially down here in the dark, dark underground archives.
I don't even glance up at whoever it is. I continue with what I'm doing. If it's somebody who wishes to speak to me, then they shall speak.
I thought I would find you down here. And you hear the voice of your sensei, Kuni Tomo.
Sensei. Well, so many interesting things were discussed at the symposium. I had to make a few notations of my own.
She gives you a slight smile, nods. You are always hard at work, trying to find your own truths. So, which subject out of the many subjects caught your interest?
Do you remember the mention of the shack that had the yokai taking possession of it and guarding some objects that were, they themselves were becoming yokai as well? Yes, that's the one that I'm looking more into. It's absolutely fascinating that the taint is less around that shack. It makes me wonder what about that particular yokai is repelling, I suppose, might be the word for it. It seems to invite further investigation.
I am amazed that anything, even man-made, could last that long in the Shadowlands.
Well, yeah, especially a shack. That does seem a little odd. I mean, we know the Haruma Castle's still there, but that's a castle. The shack might be made by the yokai. And you just see me start, like, suddenly hurriedly scribbling things down, just kind of letting my voice trail away.
Yeah. She can see that your expression has turned into investigate and compute mode. Basically, you get lost in your own research. But she knows how to pull you back, at least for a few minutes. And she looks, and she sits down next to you. Kuni, oh, actually, she'd probably just call you Suiko. I have something that was sent to you by an Imperial messenger.
You suddenly see me, like, jerk my head towards her and You almost swear that I'm slightly paler under my makeup for a moment. For me.
And she gives you a comforting, like, just pat on the shoulder. And then takes out the delicately folded letter with the Imperial seal on top of it. And she holds it with both hands and says, "It is an honor to be handing this over to you."
A momentary flash of confusion goes across my eyes. I look down at it, I'm like, huh. And I hold out both my hands to accept it and give a slight bow.
She gives you a slight bow back and puts it delicately in your hand. But that was not the only thing that the Imperial messenger had.
Now you see the paleness come back just a bit.
And it is a scroll this time with the not only is it sealed with the Kuni clan, the Kuni clan's champion seal, but also the Crab clan's seal.
Huh. Well, I hold out my hand to accept that one as well. Also give a slight bow.
She places it in your hand and says, "Apparently they think it is time for your solo mission."
Do you think it's time?
I've been trying to get you approved for the past 2 years.
Realization starts dawning on her face of, wait, what?
They've been very cautious with you. And I don't blame them. But I believe in you. And I am respecting... Wait, what? I am expecting reports. As soon as you get to wherever they are locating you.
Well, perhaps I should open them and find out where you will be getting letters from.
And she looks and she nods. Do you mind if I view these with you?
Of course.
And she just stays there and she looks with some anticipation on what's happening.
So you see me for a moment, kind of weigh both of them in my hands, like, which one? But then I'm like, the Imperial Seal, that was a little higher technically. So my inner monologue tells me that I should open that one first. So I'm going to unfold the Imperial Seal first.
You unfold it, you break the seal. It's pretty easy to tell. No one has tampered with it. It's folded in such a way where you even fray some of the edges because it's a chrysanthemum origami shape, and it has been folded very tightly with a lot of care. And if somebody else had opened it, more than likely there would have been visible damage to it. So you know this is like fresh. The message says that you have been recommended by both the clan and the family champions to be a Yuriki for the new Emerald Magistrate in Ryoko Ori.
And also it says that you will have a companion there by the name of Kaiu Suko, who you are to escort also to Ryoko Owari. Thank you for listening to Gates of Orchid and Iris. Remember to share, comment, and rate us where you can. If you're listening on YouTube, subscribe, like, and hit that bell notification button. Support this podcast by either going to our anchor.fm page and hitting the listener support button, or supporting us through Patreon. On Patreon, the $1 level not only will help improve this podcast, but you will receive an extended version of the Cultural Exploration segments monthly. And we have a lot of other fun things planned for Patreon.